This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are live today, and that means you can call us and talk to us and join the conversation at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. And if for some reason you're not listening live, which is okay, you can always call our 24-hour voicemail at 323-SEX-8266. So we have a kind of unprecedented situation here, which is that Raymond and I are in the same place. I am at Raymond's place, and we are broadcasting live from Asheville, North Carolina, in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains. I came to spend some time with Raymond, and we've had lots of just cool fun. The other day, I went to Lake Lore, which is famous for being the lake where the lake scene is filmed from Dirty Dancing, which is one of my favorite all-time movies. And so I got to take my picture and with a watermelon and like the whole nine yards. Look at my Instagram for all that. But it feels really fun to have to do a show with Raymond where we're both physically in the same place. And I want to tease you about what's coming up because it's kind of an eclectic show. We decided to do a TV and pop culture roundup of things that we've been watching and listening to in the past week or so. So we're going to talk about the Netflix documentary Wild Wild Country, which is actually about a cult in Oregon. And it's a six-part, six-hour documentary, which Raymond immediately like got me hooked on when I got here. We're also going to talk about Jesus Christ Superstar, the television production. Yes, starring John Legend and Sarah Bareilles. We've got a lot to say about Jesus Christ Superstar. If you haven't seen it yet, I just highly recommend it. And then we want to talk about these two new videos by Janelle Monáe, and one of them being super queer and bi and sexy. And yeah, we're going to get to all that and more. I want to give you guys some info about some events I'm doing coming up. In just, I think, less than two weeks, I'm going to International Ms. Leather and Ms. Boot Black contest and celebration in San Jose. So listen, if you are interested in this event at all, there is no on-site registration. You cannot register on-site. You have to register in advance. And it's the largest annual gathering of leather women, leather queers, leather men, leather boys, leather non-binary people, leather trans people. It's really one of my favorite events. I look forward to it all year. There is the contest itself. There are workshops, parties, entertainment, social events, shopping, brunch, lots and lots of play. The dungeon's always open. And a pool party. The pool party is by far one of the highlights for me, where there's a few hours where they close the pool and it's just for attendees from IMSL, not the whole hotel. And it's always just really, really fun. It's fun to go with people or fly solo. And it's also great to volunteer. If you're nervous about going as a new person and you volunteer, you'll have a reason to talk to people, which will be good. I'm returning this year as an MC along with the other MC, Alada Boutte, who is fantastic and amazing, and I just plan to have a really great time. If you are interested in going, you need to get on it right now. Remember, it's in San Jose, and you can go to imslbb.org for more information. And then planning ahead, because I know you want to plan ahead, folks, November 3rd to the 10th, 2018, Swing Set Takes Desire. So if you listened to my show a couple weeks ago, I recorded a show at this event last fall. And this is where the folks at Life on the Swing Set, as well as Ending the Sexual Dark Age, which is another podcast, they host this annual trip. This is the seventh one they'll do. And it's at Desire Resort in Mexico. They do a complete takeover of the resort. So they put on a really inclusive and really geeky and really fun trip. I am on a mission to get more queer people there. There are people of all sexual orientations there, but I'm on a personal mission to just like get some more queers there. So if you're queer and you want the vacation of a lifetime, which I know you do, and even if you're not queer, that too, the event does sell out. You don't have to pay for it all up front, but you do have to reserve your spot. And you can find out more about it by going to ssdesire.com. I also want to remind folks that, you know, I have my sex educator boot camps, level 1 and level 2, online now. So if you are passionate about sex education and you want to build a career in the field, or if you're considering working in a field that's ancillary to sex education, or maybe you've already begun your journey as a sex educator and you're ready to get serious, streamline your business, learn about branding and getting paid for what you love doing, these are the courses for you. You can buy them together, or you can start with number 1, or if you've been doing this for a while, you can dive into number 2. But it's a really, really great program. People love it. You can find out about it at sexeducatorbootcamp.com. Now, I also have a special deal. This is just for listeners, and it's a really long URL, so maybe get a pen. If you want to get the discount, it's sexeducatorbootcamp.com/details-discount-enrollment. sexeducatorbootcamp.com/details-discount-enrollment. That gets you up to 30% off the regular price. So I want to give you a little bit of background on one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight, because it just came out. I don't know how many of you have seen it. And certainly we're going to try to minimize the spoiler alerts, but we might reveal some information about this new Netflix documentary called Wild, Wild Country. It's all about the Rajneesh cult, which is a group began by this leader, Rajneesh. And first, there was an ashram in India, and people would make journeys there and visit. And then they decided they were actually going to move the whole community to and settle and build its like very own town, which ended up being called Rajneeshpuram, just outside the tiny town of Antelope, Oregon, in the 1980s. It's estimated that 2,000 people, but maybe at some points as many as 7,000 people, lived in this sort of city come commune. They considered it a commune, but it was like a city in that it had housing, it had stores, it had its own police force. And this documentary is absolutely unbelievably riveting. It kind of has it all in terms of great documentaries. Of course, there's a cult at the center and a charismatic leader, his very powerful lieutenant, Ma Anand Sheela. there's a lot of interesting stuff about intentional community and creations of intentional communities, which is very big in the 70s and 80s. There certainly is a thread running throughout of one of their values, which was free love / open marriage / lots of sex / lots of nudity. There's also great scenes of these psychological encounter groups, which is a thing that sprung up in the 70s, and it was sort of like self-help or peer therapy, really. And of course, there's this, you know, there's this whole narrative of kind of white people looking for spirituality and going to India, and then in some cases going to India and then coming to Oregon or coming straight to Oregon. But a lot of his followers were American, were European, were white. And a lot of those followers had a ton of cash. So what ended up happening is there was a lot of money floating around. Of course, you need a lot of money in order to buy this huge piece of land, right? And then build a city from nothing. It was literally just dirt. I mean, there were 17 Rolls Royces and then maybe up to 40 Rolls Royces because the Bhagwan Rajneesh like to roll in Rolls Royce. And then it got, you know, a little deeper and darker. There was stockpiling weapons. There was a mass poisoning. There's major conflicts with the townspeople of both Antelope and Wasco County, the county that these towns were in. And eventually things got really screwed up. And the state attorney general and the FBI shows up. And so there were extraditions, there were charges, there were pleas, there were deals. People turned on each other, and there was jail time and convictions for some of those folks involved. That kind of gives you just an idea of what this documentary is about. Raymond and I are going to break down our thoughts about it and talk about other pop culture references, but we've got to take a commercial break. So let's take a break. And when we come back, I'll let Raymond speak. No, kidding. Funny. when we come back, Raymond's going to join me. We're going to talk about TV and pop culture. So stay tuned.
Hey, everyone. I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators' picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the Open List features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, as you know, my amazing, loyal, generous sponsor of the show is the Pleasure Chest, and they make the show possible. And I want to give them love, as much love as I possibly can, whenever I can. They have an amazing program at their stores, which is the Pleasure Ed program, which is a series of free weekly sex ed classes. The classes are usually from 8 to 10 p.m. It's first come, first serve for seating. And I want to tell you about the ones that are coming up. In Los Angeles, April 11th, Fisting for All Genders with Chris and Michelle. April 15th, this is going to be a good one. I know this woman and she's a great presenter. She just wrote a book, Sexual Intuition, Uncovering What You Already Know with Susanna Brisk. In New York City, April 10th, Why Are People Into That? A live recording of that fabulous podcast with my friend, Tina Horn. And April 11th, all the way from LA, Elle Chase is teaching her really popular class, Curvy Sex, Body Positive Positions to Empower Your Sex Life. Then in Chicago, April 11th, Spank Someone Happy with Ant. A little spanking class for you. Listen, go to thepleasurechest.com. You can click on events to find out about these events and more. You can also, while you're there, click on the link that says Educator Picks, and you'll get to see my picks from my favorite toys and my favorite products at the Pleasure Chest. And, you know, while you're there, if you want to find a little something for yourself, which you always should, and you use the coupon code Tristan at checkout, you're going to get a free gift from the Pleasure Chest. So go to pleasurechest.com and do that. So we're back with a live broadcast from Asheville, North Carolina, here high up in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Me and Raymond are talking about pop culture. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is this new Netflix documentary, Wild Wild Country, which I think just debuted maybe in March, I think it came out. But we both watched it. We watched it together when I got here. It's 6 hours. So it's not exactly like a fast one, but it's so compelling and riveting that you want to watch it all in one session. Like you really actually want to watch it all in one session. The thing that struck me is that I don't have like a huge interest in cults, but one of the things that always interested me is I am interested in these intentional communities that came together in the 70s and part of the 80s where people wanted to kind of rebel against, you know, people were protesting the Vietnam War. It was like the age of the sexual revolution and the women's movement. And people were really pushing back against this idea of kind of white middle class America and the way that it's sort of been sold to people, right? And people wanted to create these kind of alternatives, which is how this thing started out. This thing started out, you know, no, I don't think most people start out and say, I want to start a cult. They're like, I think I want to start a community. And so, and the fact that they built this from the ground up was actually quite impressive. You know, when they began to get criticized and when there began to be these sort of legal battles, then there was a lot of discourse in the media and from their so-called enemies about how they were a crazy, wild sex cult. And of course, radical ideas about sexuality were kind of part of the guru's teachings, the Bhagwan's teachings, but it wasn't it wasn't sort of founded to be a radical sex cult. They definitely had open marriages. They definitely encouraged sex and sexuality. There's definitely a lot of nudity. And that was one of the first things that got attacked is, okay, now we want to say that this is immoral and these are deviants and we want them kind of out of our town. But there was a surprisingly not enough sex for me in this documentary. I mean, one of the things about the compelling things about this documentary is that there is a ton of television footage. There is a ton of video footage. And they had sort of unprecedented access to the players involved, most of the major players, not everyone, but most of the major players. So we get to see all of this footage. Like, they had camera crews within the commune and, you know, filming a lot of things. And then the media, of course, when national media caught on, when there was all the scandal, there's a lot of national media coverage. And so we can see people in this community talking in 1980, and then they'll cut to them talking, you know, a few years ago, which is really fascinating. But what strikes me is just that there's so much on film. You know, usually cults are kind of like secretive and you don't necessarily get all this insider information. And this one just had, there's so much footage. Like, I mean, the people who got access to this footage and the filmmakers, this is actually executive produced by the Duplass brothers. But the people who got access to all this footage, it was just so amazing. Okay, we were having some tech problems, but now we're trying to fix them. So, hey, if you're listening live, Raymond is going to join us. So, Raymond, what did you think about like this one? You've seen it more than once, actually, so you've got an even better perspective than I do.
It's true. I got turned on to this because I have a dear friend who grew up in Portland, and she was a kid in the 80s, and we also share a love of cult documentary. So the second it dropped, she turned me onto it, and we both pretty much watched it like almost all the way through in the first day. And then I immediately knew I wanted to watch it a second time. And I just had this funny vision when you were coming to hang out with me this week. I was like, I think I need to watch this with Tristan. So I'm really glad that you were as engaged as I had hoped you would be. And it's funny too, because I know we keep using this word cult, and I know that like all this week when we've been talking about it, whenever we talk about it, one of the phrases I keep going back to is it's all a cult, because the film itself, the documentary, never really uses that word, because they were a community and they were a religion. And there was the interesting contrast between the town folk, who were a bunch of like older retired white Christian, you know, Oregon folks, and then this new religion, right? And so what I liked is that it's kind of starts off as just, you have these hopeful ideals. And yeah, he's a little bit weird, because the Rajneesh is, you were talking about how he's all those Rolls Royces, like he was very much a capitalist and did not believe that you had to be an ascetic in order to be a spiritual person and all that. So it was fascinating to kind of see the origin story of that. And one of the things that happens in the first episode is they're talking about this guy, Rajneesh, and the Bhagwan. And then kind of about halfway through, they suddenly, one of the main guys calls him Osho. And I was like, wait a minute, Osho? Like all those books that I see in the New Age store and in the sort of alternative
spirituality.
Exactly, spirituality. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. So it was fascinating to be like, wait, I do know this guy. So here's this sort of story about this incident that happened in the early 80s on the West Coast. And I felt like, how did, you know, I've never heard about this. No one, you know, in all my interest of cults and also New Age spirituality and how Eastern religions have come to the West and the different types of ways that those cultures have kind of come here and merged here. So it starts off, the documentary, the first couple of episodes are really just about sort of the culture clash. And it's sort of about the old guard of the boomers and the greatest generation who are running up against like the hippies and the free love. And mm-hmm. then just it takes this, that really dark, violent turn, you know? And so suddenly you just sort of see that you do believe that they had good intentions. Although when I watched it a second time, I saw more clues about the nefarious things that were coming, right? Mm. So when you're watching it the first time, the Sheila, I think you talked about her too, she was the sort of the first lieutenant, when she mm-hmm. talks about the meeting Bhagwan when she's really young, like 16, 17, and dealing with and meeting him, And there's kind of this point in the story where I remember watching it the first time being like, that's a little bit weird. And then watching it the second time, I was like, oh shit, that motherfucker drugged her. And this is where it started. Like, you know what I mean? That's a theme that keeps coming up, is people like poisoning or giving them things against their will.
Yeah.
And so that's where the cult thing, I think, comes in. Like, so suddenly this isn't just about practicing religion. Once you start making it about, you have to do this, and if you don't act this way, we're going to do this intense punishing or do something against you with the drugging. Yeah. So,
That's the thing too, is that it could be seen sort of, and I feel like maybe some people who are cult members like experienced it just as intentional community who were very, 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 very far away from the seat of power. But then there began these things, there began this sort of power grab first to sort of take over all of Wasco County and be on its city council and really, you know, a big power grab. And then this drugging of people without their consent or knowledge. And then I read today, you know, there's a big thing about the Bhagwan being on medication from a doctor, like legal medication. But I read today that Sheila, in an article, that Sheila was also drugged and medicated from day one.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So the other thing is, like, if I watched it again through the lens of these people are also like high on opiates or narcotics or, you know, downers, like that, you know, that could explain Sheila's sort of, I don't know, irritability? Is that the side effect?
Right. Well, also how things went from like 0 to 10 so fast, because like the intense paranoia, like there was definitely a lot of tension and a lot of things happening, but it just feel like that violence escalated really fast. But it's also hard not to see it as this a metaphor of like colonizing and white supremacy and how basically the Rajneesh Purim was doing what like pioneers were doing in the 19th century, but because they're doing it in the 20th century, suddenly it's not okay.
It's suddenly not okay. Yeah.
Right.
And I think that was also true when they decided, I mean, they were completely nonviolent people. And then they decided, listen, all of these ranchers have guns. We could be in physical danger. We're going to stockpile weapons and teach everyone to use them and practice it daily. And then it was like, okay. Now, and then they were really terrified, the townspeople, but it was like, but you all have guns already. They're just
just
catching up to the party. Like, they didn't invent guns and they're not the only ones with guns. You all
Right. And that also there was a violence against the Rajneesh, against their Portland hotel, that sort of inspired more fear in the stockpiling and just sort of seeing that how that fear is so contagious and just kept going back and forth between all the different people involved.
But something that's not in the documentary is like there was someone responsible for that bombing, and it was an Islamic fundamentalist terrorist, and he did serve time. They caught him and he served time.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, they never did go into that.
Entirely unrelated to, like, no one, quote, from Oregon sort of targeted it was a terror attack on a hotel. It wasn't really about the Rajneesh or the commune.
But of course, so they just thought it was about them. And
I think it also fueled their paranoia. I mean, there's a really great, there's like a 7-part series on Oregon Live, which is, I mean, it teased it as like, now we have access to documents and people that we never had access to, and you're going to hear new things and it's going to blow your mind. I wouldn't say that about the series. But there were kernels and little pieces of information that were really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. We got to take a commercial break.
Awesome.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Jesus Christ Superstar. Raymond and I have both watched it separately. We have barely talked about it together, so I'm really curious. So stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Hey, everyone. I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators' picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase. Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are doing a pop culture TV roundup. I am here live with Raymond. We are broadcasting from the Blue Ridge Mountains, sort of. I mean, we could see them out the window. Yeah. And we're live if you want to call us and talk to us about if you've seen the new Netflix documentary or our next topic, Jesus Christ Superstar. We're at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Okay, Raymond, so let's talk about Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus Christ Superstar. Now, I probably might almost sound like an Andrew Lloyd Webber, but I definitely am not, because I know there are way big people like fans. So I'm going to give a little brief intro for folks who either watched it and didn't know what the fuck they were watching, or like haven't watched it before. But Jesus Christ Superstar is actually Andrew Lloyd Webber's first musical. And he was like in his early 20s, I want to say, or maybe like right around 20 when he made it. And it was originally a rock opera. So it was designed to be kind of a radio play. I didn't see a stage show of it until I went to college, and when I was in high school in Atlanta, Damon Records, which is the little indie record label that I believe Amy Ray started, they did an Atlanta musician recording of Jesus Christ Superstar with Amy Ray as Jesus and Emily Saliers as Mary Magdalene, and I can't remember the artist who did Judas. Gerard Levant, maybe, but an Atlanta dude. So it was a local production, but of course I was a big Indigo Girls fan, and so I loved having Amy Ray queering up as Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's a rock opera that's sort of geared towards that like high screechy rock like vocalist singer, like Foreigner or whatever. So it's kind of, you know, it's a hard role anyway. So it's actually kind of great to have an alto singer do it. So there's been a new, you know, if you've been around the past couple of years, they've been doing all these live productions of musicals. They started with Sound of Music. They've done Grease. They've done Hairspray. They did Rocky Horror. And so for Easter this past Sunday, they did a new production of Jesus Christ Superstar. And it was directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, correct? And what was great about is that it was the first one that really had a live audience and they had live instruments playing. So I think production-wise, it was definitely like a step up and a little bit more exciting than some of the other productions. But I did talk to Tristan a little bit about, I was all like, I loved the guy who did Judas, and I forgot to look up his name before we came on the air, but he was in Hamilton, and he got a little bit of press because when Mike Pence went to that performance of Hamilton, and afterwards the cast kind of made a statement about immigration and things like that and freedom and whatnot, and it was kind of shortly after the inauguration. So that kind of went viral. So that actor who got known for that, he's the one who was playing Judas, and I apologize, I don't know his name. But he did a really great job. And John Legend, I just thought he was just a little too sweet and baby-faced to be Jesus, which is kind of a funny thing, but Jesus Christ Superstar is so much about the anguish and agony of when something that's really joyful and amazing suddenly starts to turn really dark and you know it's going to have a terrible ending. So that's, I think, why we've been thinking about Jesus Christ Superstar along with Wild Wild Country, had that similar idea of like when things get born out of these really great ideas, expansive ideas, but then they kind of go up against of the reality of human nature and how do you organize people and not become a cult? Like what's the difference between a religion and a cult? And
how do you organize people and not become a target? Right. I mean, that's another thing, is that there's pushback from the establishment in both of these stories, which obviously take place centuries apart. Brandon Victor Dixon.
Thank you.
Was Brandon Victor Dixon, who's from Hamilton, is the guy who played Judas, who was amazing. I was floored because I've seen all the other musicals and I'm a huge musical theater fan. And I just thought they always came off like canned and cheesy, and the multiple sets and the production values, it just was not working for me. And this, because you saw the audience, it was like you were at a rock concert, it was one set, I just felt like this blew away all those others.
Yeah, yeah.
Except I am confused. I love Sarah Bareilles, and I actually thought she was brilliant in this. But
yeah.
I'm confused because I feel like the Mary Magdalene character was a little, like, bland and sort of not there. Like, I feel like she has a bunch of songs, she's in a bunch of scenes, but like her whole thing could be, you know, summed up by saying like, Jesus, let me pet your head and calm you down. Please don't get stressed out about things. I love you. I'm just like a stand-in for a girl. Like what's
right. Right.
And like, why?
Yeah, I know that role. It's kind of a sad role. Like Mary Magdalene has kind of a couple great songs. And one of the songs she sang actually is new. It wasn't even the original recording, that Can We Start Again thing. I think in some ways, Andrew Louis Weber added that song because like felt bad. Like, oh, I have this Mary Magdalene character and I don't really give her anything to do. And rewatching that, especially thinking about that it was a musical written by like a couple of like early 20s rocker dudes, I realized that I was like, oh my God, Mary Magdalene is a manic pixie dream girl.
She's like,
she's just basically like, I'm pretty, but I'm cool. Like, I used to be a sex worker, so I'm edgy.
right.
Yeah.
So, it was just, there's not a lot of strong female characters to sort of look to.
No.
Sarah Bareilles did the very best she could.
No, yeah, she's lovely. She was a great singer.
With the
absolutely.
Material, but it was just like the material was a little fucking weak.
Yeah, yeah. I do have to share one thing that I thought was really funny the next day I saw on Twitter. It was Early to Bed made a funny tweet that they were like, they came into the office or into their store on Monday morning and they had a huge like a lot of online orders had opened overnight. And she was like, was everyone watching all those like sexy shirtless guys on Jesus Christ Superstar getting flogged? So they decided to go out and buy sex toys. So it was kind of a funny, like there was a lot of leather. There was a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, no, it was like edgy and yeah, it was tattoos.
It had like the Hunger Games sort of of that like look too with the outfits or whatever. So it was like super, super on the nose zeitgeisty and things like that. I could see why it was really popular and whatnot. But, you know, like, I'm not even Christian. I'm culturally Christian. I was raised United Methodist, and I really loved Jesus Christ Superstar from a theology perspective because it was a little bit different from, you know, the narrative being told about, like, Jesus is pure, and then Judas is this terrible person who betrayed him. And it really kind of brings in all these sort of complicated things that happen when you're part of a movement and there's all these things happening and you start to see the path that you need to take and you maybe don't want to do it, but you realize you kind of play a role in it and the sort of complications of things. And some of that I felt like I think that was some of the thing with John Legend's performance is that I wanted a more like anguished, tortured Jesus. And that probably is just because of my love of like Amy Ray in that role. Like, she was like, she really bought the like political anguish dyke rage to it or whatever.
Well, so. No, but I feel you on this because, you know, one of the things that's really that I love about Hamilton is this relationship between Hamilton and Burr. Mm-hmm. And they do feel like equals. And there's a sort of sparring and there's these chess moves and Hamilton keeps coming out ahead. And I almost thought that like Judas in this production, and this is the first time I ever saw the musical, he came off sort of more like smarter and more conniving than Jesus. Like Jesus right. came off a little bit oblivious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're just going to go to the slaughter. You're just going to walk there. You're just going to go. Like you're not going to fight back. Like, you know, Judas, it seemed like Judas was more like strategic than Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's a whole song in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus has that's supposed to be that anguished prayer to God. That's supposed to be like you've been telling me where and how, but I still don't understand why this needs to happen. But I just don't think he conveyed that in that performance. Whereas Judas's struggle, like with taking the money and betraying and then yes. the suicide, like you felt that anguish and that battle and what was going on. And even with some of the crowd stuff with Jesus, like there's the one song, the Hosanna song, where they start off saying like, hey, JC, you know, would you say hi to me? Like it escalates. Yeah. And the last time it says, JC, would you die for me? And I was looking at John Legend's face and he was still like waving and smiling at everybody. And I was like, no, motherfucker, this is the part when it's supposed to dawn on you that they're asking you to die for them. And you realize that that's going to happen. So I feel like overall, Jesus Christ Superstar did great work in hiring Broadway people and hiring singers who can
yeah.
kind of act. Rather than actors who can kind of sing. But I still feel like, you know, God bless you, John Legend. He does, you know, he's doing fine. It's okay. He can take my little like critique or whatever. And I do like him.
Yeah, and he's listening right now, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. Please.
For sure.
Please. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, like, it was still overall really good. But you know what it is, when you have an ear for something or an understanding of something, you're going to have your sort of nitpicky. And it's just funny, I wasn't expecting to have so many opinions on Jesus Christ Superstar since I'm pretty much a Taoist Buddhist nowadays.
Well, yeah, and Christianity, like, doesn't really interest me on any level. I'm also a Buddhist. And so it was fascinating. I didn't think that I'd be so into it. I was sort of like, oh, it's about Jesus Christ. It's Easter. I don't know.
Yeah, too on the nose, right?
Just too hooked. Okay. We are going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Janelle Monáe, people.
Yeah.
That shit is hot. And maybe even a little Cardi B because...
Yeah, I always got to shout that out too.
Just heard the Cardi B. Yeah, it was a whole thing. Okay, so let's take a break. And when we come back, more with me and Raymond doing the pop culture.
Hey everyone, I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase. Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly aware,
kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. It's a glorious day because I'm broadcasting live with my producer, Raymond, in Asheville, North Carolina. We're doing a TV and pop culture roundup, and I have an exciting surprise for Raymond, and he doesn't know about it.
Oh my gosh. I hate surprises. I love surprises. What is it?
So Raymond has been promoted to senior producer of Sex Out Loud.
What?
Which is basically, he's at the complete top of the food chain. And I think this means now, if you put this on your resume, then like you go straight to Cardi B and be like, I want to mix for you. And she'll be like, yeah.
What's up? I'll take it. Thank you so much.
Okay, good. I want to get you good in with Cardi
B. I'll get
B.
some new business cards too.
Okay, great. Yay. So, okay. So Cardi B dropped a new album. You're a big Cardi B fan. Let's talk about it. Cause we listened to it this morning at like 9 a.m.
I know.
Okay, listen, it's early, but we have to listen to it cause it just dropped and then we have to listen to it the whole way through twice.
I know. I did ease you into it with the Michelle Nadege Ocello covers album, which I also recommend, by the way, side note, speaking of some great queer musicians who are making good stuff today. But then once we got on the highway, I was like, all right, let's put on some Cardi B. So I think one of the things I said to you was that I do love Cardi B, and really it just was like, I mean, I was just one of those people that heard Bodak Yellow 5 million times and fucking loved it and loved cruising through my neighborhood listening to it. And I started to like see her do stuff online, and I really liked her. And some of the songs that I would listen to, I was not as into, but I still have been like, oh, I want to like you. I want to love your stuff. And so I was excited for the album and I'm really into it. I like the production stuff. She's kind of cracking me up. She had some, like the first song, she was flowing with no beat. It was just like that little piano going or whatever. So I'm excited for this. I'm excited to dig in and give a few more listens. And bringing it back to the John Legend thing, there's a great little line where she kind of gives this little shout out both to Rihanna and Chrissy Teigen, basically kind of saying, hey, let's the three of us hang out. So
there might be a threesome. Might be a threesome in the works there.
I'm into that. I'm into that.
Okay, so Janelle Monáe dropped these two videos. It was all over my feed and social media. And this one, like the way you make me feel, is it the way you make me feel?
I think it's just make me feel.
Make me feel.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Is it like a queer bi dyke dream of a lifetime?
Yes. Yes. And stylish. And if you love Prince, like I think this is the track that either he maybe kind of helped her a little, or at least she was kind of channeling him. Like, it's definitely, there's Prince all over the track. You can feel that too.
Yeah, you
and
can feel that.
There's Tessa Thompson all over the video, and you can feel that too.
It's just, the production is amazing. It's super hot. There's all these like cool references. And I want to see more of this sort of bi and pansexual stuff come out in the world. You know, I feel like people really shy away from it. And I feel like it's especially taboo among African-American rappers and performers.
It's also interesting to think about how the dynamics about like labels and identity change, because Janelle has kind of danced around this question for a while and just very innocent. Not, you know, I don't want to say it like that. I know that's a phrase that we use a lot. It's just more that I know people I think have, or by the press, have been sort of asking or waiting or expecting, and she's just sort of never said anything explicitly. And so I like that she just sort of is like, you know what, I'm going to tell you about myself and my creative work and my art, and you know, you can figure it out. Like, I do what I want to do, and I don't necessarily need to be in these labels. And I used to, like, you know, I kind of came out in the 90s, and I used to run like peer coming out groups in college and stuff like that. And I always remember the people who would be like, I'm not into labels. And I always had a joke like, that's actually kind of a label. Like, I feel like all the people who say I'm not into labels, kind of I could put into a club. Do you know what I'm saying? But as we are sort of moving into like more open space around queerness and around gender and around sexuality, I feel like that sort of, that feeling of I'm not into labels is now starting to be a little bit more sophisticated. It's more about like, no, fuck your labels. I'm going to sort of design my own label based on these things, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I felt like came from the video.
That's what I felt like came from the video. And I think it speaks to this younger generation, which is much more fluid about sexuality. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But also, I think it speaks to the sort of construction of coming out and of even identifying as gay or lesbian as a sort of white supremacist, you know, institution, right?
Right, right.
And I feel like she's also saying, like, I'm going to carve out this own space for myself because this other thing doesn't apply to me.
Exactly. I think that's so true, the carving out new space. I think we're in this really interesting space of creating new definitions and new understandings and new community, and that's sort of the... That's kind of where I want to put my attention on, is this creating, because we're also in this age of fascism and authoritarianism and destroying things and breaking things down. And it can be really overwhelming about how to deal with that. And part of me is like, you know what? I can't fight against it, but I can help with building the new world, you know?
Right, right. It felt like it was, and it was also kind of a fuck you to... I'm not going to do it on your terms to the media.
Right.
I'm not going to speak to the speculation.
Right.
I'm going to create this thing in my own language with my own visual and verbal kind of language.
Yeah, because that same day she dropped the second video, which was Django Jane. And that was more about that Make Me Feel is more like the Prince Sexy Jam. And Django Jane was the rap song. And that had a whole different set of visuals that were amazing. And we're definitely pulling from like Pan-Africanism and Garveyism. But in that sort, like more of a new way that's sort of coming out. It reminded me of parts of like Beyonce's Lemonade, of course, and whatnot. But I love that song too, because she was mixing in like the pop cultures. Like, she did that whole thing about the referencing like Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, and then Viola Davis by like Cue the Violas and stuff like that. There was like the good little wordplay. I love when she was talking about like, oh, remember when they used to say I was too mannish? Like, that was another lyric I really loved. Like,
yes.
She was really directly confronting some of the
some
pushback
of the stuff,
in the press.
Some of the talk
about
her. Yeah,
totally.
And it also feels kind of in line with the sort of Frank Ocean coming out model. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
This also, to me, there was like a conversation between Frank Ocean and Janelle Monáe happening in this video, which is like he sort of modeled away, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was and it was revolutionary and it was radical because he's in the Black community. And so I feel like there was also a sort of nod there, which is like, we're going to do this in our own way, on our own time. And we're not going to buy into these sort of traditional narratives.
Right. It's not just going to be this one narrative come out that gay will sort of like that's how they did it. And that's cool for them. But that doesn't have to be how everyone else in the queer community does it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've almost got to wrap up.
Oh, my gosh.
What are your final thoughts? Like, what else have you been watching on TV? What are you into? Give us a final thought on pop culture.
Oh, my gosh.
Right now.
Oh, you know what we haven't touched on, which we probably could have spent a whole hour on. We're also both fans of The Voice.
Oh, yes.
And also, I feel very proud that I got to introduce you to the wonder of carpool karaoke last night as well. That was another really great joy.
Karaoke.
Yeah.
I was completely charmed and smitten by it.
Yeah. But I was just thinking about how much I'm enjoying Kelly Clarkson on this season of The Voice, and she and Alicia Keys have a good dynamic, and I like what they're bringing to the show. So I do tend to, in the spring and fall, I do like to watch The Voice, and I'm still an old school Dancing with the Stars fan, so I'm waiting for that to come back.
No! Well, do you know what's going on with Dancing with the Stars now?
I think it's going to be an athlete.
Yes, athlete edition. And Tanya Harding is going to be on it.
Shut up. I did not know that.
That is a fact.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm watching it just for that. Yeah, I'm watching it just for her. I am.
Have you watched I, Tanya yet?
No, but I've heard
of it. Me neither. I think it just came out so that's on my list. There's been a lot of good movies that I miss in the theater. Like Call Me By My Name just arrived in Netflix. So all these waves, the Oscar one, Shape of Water, are coming out. I'm excited to kind of catch up in that way. Yeah.
Okay, kids. So remember, you can find us online at sexoutloudradio.com and on Twitter at sexoutloudradio. Raymond, how can they find you on the social media channels?
On Twitter, I'm at Raymond J, and on Instagram, I'm at A Raymond J. So don't forget the A on my Instagram. And those are mostly where I
hang out. Check out my Instagram for adventures with Raymond and I.
That's right. You see Tristan carrying a watermelon.
Yep. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, newly promoted, in charge of the whole fucking thing, senior producer Raymond Johnson. Announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, A-Rod, my engineer, everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Who's the guest, Raymond?
Polly Rodriguez from Unbound.
Yeah!
Sex and Tech is going to be fun.
After that is a 3-part episode for the next 3 weeks after that, which is the live recording of the panel I did at the Pleasure Chest, Me Too in Sex Positive Communities. Just been working on editing that. It sounds really great. So till next time.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.